not something you may think much about or notice, but when something feels wrong, it's really hard to ignore. I'm talking about teeth and oral health, and it can affect a person's entire health. But recent studies have found that not so many of us in the Midwest are getting regular dental care. This is Central Standard, and I'm Alana Gordon. Today, we'll be discussing the health inside our mouths, why it's so often neglected, and why many in healthcare say that's a problem, and what, if anything, might be done about it. Joining us is Dr. John Rapley, Chair of Periodontics at UMKC School of Dentistry. Welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And by phone, we're joined by Kevin Robertson, Director of the Kansas Dental Association. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome.
Now, Kevin, you recently wrapped up a special clinic in Wichita this weekend that provided dental care for anyone who showed up. How did that go? What was that about?
Well, yeah, Alana, we did. It was our 10th anniversary of our Kansas Mission of Mercy free dental clinic. It was our 12th clinic, our 10th anniversary. Remember, we did a few early, where we did two a year early on in the history of the Kansas Mission of Mercy. But for your local folks, we've been to Kansas City twice. Back in 2003, we had quite a large event at the Kansas Speedway that you might remember. And then just last year, we were at 65th and about State in the old Walmart building that now is the Kansas City, Kansas Community College is now turning into an annex. So some of you may remember that there. But we were in Wichita this past weekend. We treated a little over 1,700 patients, provided about $1.2 million in free dental care.
That is a lot of dental care.
That is a lot of dental care, and as you indicated, there certainly are a lot of people out there that don't regularly see a dentist and frankly, just don't take care of their teeth. They just don't have very good oral health care habits, and many of those things might be avoided with proper care and prevention.
So what were some of the most common issues that you saw? And then I want to bring Dr. Rapley into this to kind of expand on that.
Well, at our clinics, we provide really three basic services, and then we have other services we do provide. But we do provide an oral health cleaning or, with a dental hygienist, cleaning your teeth. We do fillings for those people that might have some cavities, and then we can extract teeth for those people that have severe enough issues that really extracting those teeth or pulling those teeth are the only option for them. So as you might imagine, the people that come to the clinic, a fair number of them really have issues that exceed just simply needing a cleaning. So we do end up extracting a fair number of teeth over the 2 days of the clinic that just frankly just can't be saved.
So how do you see this reflecting? I mean, is this something that, I guess first, why did this come up? Why set up these big clinics? I'm really struck that so many people show up at these kind of big, kind of, I imagine, just stadium-like events to get dental care.
Yeah, it's something that obviously we've contemplated over the 10 years that we've been doing this particular event. So many of the people that come just don't have care. And so why the people don't go to the dentist, what we've done in the past, we did not at this last clinic, but we do an exit survey of the patients that come, and we ask them, really, why haven't you seen the dentist? And what we find is that a large number of them, 87% of the folks that have responded to those surveys in the past have said that they don't have the insurance or the means to pay for the care. So we really expected it to much more of the answers to be in terms of, well, gee, I couldn't find one. Only 3% of the people that respond say they couldn't find a dentist. And then it's actually as many as 8% say, I didn't even realize I needed care that badly, or they didn't think they needed to go. It's sort of this isn't probably a surprise to your listeners, Alana, but most people just don't like to go to the dentist. So what we find when we talk to people like Delta Dental of Kansas, the largest insurance provider in our state of Kansas for dental insurance, even people that have dental insurance, employed and have dental insurance, only about 55% of those people with insurance will see the dentist on an annual basis. So unless you're in pain and really have a problem, a lot of people just don't see dental care as a high priority for them.
So, Dr. Rapley, unless someone's in pain or feels a problem, often what Kevin has found, people based on these surveys may not actually go see a dentist. What has been your experience and what is going on in our mouths?
I think that Kevin hit the nail on the head when he said that 87% said that cost was the major factor. I think that in our society, we have people who are at the poverty level that would get Medicaid, and then we have people that can afford dentistry, and we have a tremendous population in between those two income levels that really don't have the ability to pay for their dental treatment. So I think that's the one thing that's really seen by most people at the dental school and in the Mission of Mercies, all of these different things, that cost is a major driving factor. He also mentioned that 8% said they didn't know that they had a problem. Unless you have a toothache due to a cavity or something like that, periodontal disease is painless, which affects half our population. And so if it's painless, most people don't see the urgency or the need to go see the dentist.
So what exactly is periodontal disease if it's this invisible thing?
Well, periodontal disease affects about half of our population, and it is the loss of bone that holds in the teeth in your mouth, basically, to make it simple, otherwise known as pyorrhea in some common slang terms. But once you lose that bone around your teeth, unfortunately, it's hard or difficult to get that bone back. The symptoms that people ignore many times, again, bleeding when they brush their teeth. They may find that they have bad breath. As the disease progresses, they may notice that their teeth become slightly loose. And so, again, these symptoms many times don't bring the patient into the dentist, like a cavity with a painful tooth or a swollen area would.
And so you said there's not that necessarily pain there. What causes it?
Unfortunately, everybody forms plaque in your mouth. If you don't brush your teeth for a day, you'd notice this white film that gets onto your teeth. Unfortunately, that plaque forms 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Once you brush your teeth, within 5 minutes, that plaque starts back again. And so as the disease progresses, the plaque changes from something that is somewhat just causing cavities to causing, again, periodontal disease. Different bacteria come into the mouth and cause, again, a combination of factors that results in bone loss.
So you said different bacteria come into your mouth. How does lifestyle affect this? But also, are these just things that are inherent in the human condition?
They're inherent in the human condition that everybody has different types of plaque. It depends on which plaque, if you want to simplify it, becomes more predominant or becomes in higher number. When you're young, you tend to have the bacteria that cause cavities because of the amount of carbohydrates or sweets, things that you eat. As you get older, you tend not to get cavities. Your plaque changes subtly over the years to being the type of plaque that can form periodontal disease and does cause periodontal disease. So it's a subtle process. Periodontal disease is a slow-moving disease that takes many years to progress.
Hmm. And so Kevin, when you look at the scope of, let's say, Kansas, do you see the issues then in terms of children as opposed to adults and what sort of care people are getting and what you experience, for example, at something like these clinics that are established?
Yeah, we sure do. Again, back to the whole cost issue, Kansas is a state that has not had a comprehensive adult Medicaid program for a significant number of years. So in Kansas, now with the new CanCare program, there has been an increase in the care. If you're an adult on Medicaid, you can come into the dentist. It used to just be if you had an infected tooth, an abscess tooth, you could get that pulled. That was the only care you had at all available to you under Medicaid. Now this year with CanCare, it's been extended to include services like cleaning your teeth. So now a person on CanCare can come in and get a teeth cleaning and maintain their oral health. Unfortunately, the oral health has been neglected for a long time. There's more service than just a cleaning that needs to be done. When we go to our Kansas Mission and Mercy projects, we find by far the need that comes to those clinics are adults. We actually have a tough time even keeping the children's area of our clinic busy and full and working throughout the full 2 days that we're open. So we're treating, let's say, over 1,700 patients in 2 days. Less than 200 of those patients were children, probably more like 150 from this last mom project that we had. In Kansas, children have comprehensive oral care on the Medicaid program. And a recent study that was done by our Bureau of Oral Health shows that actually decayed teeth or teeth with cavities in third graders in Kansas, a study shows it's about 9%. Now, 9% is still too high, but that compares to a national average or a baseline of 25.9%. So Kansas children seem to be, compared to the rest of the country, seem to be in pretty good shape. But our adults, without having access to Medicaid, a comprehensive Medicaid coverage, it's still an issue in our state.
Wow, that's really striking to me. Patty writes on Twitter, oral health doesn't get the public focus it deserves. And you can join the conversation by calling 816-235-2888. Again, that's 816-235-2888. Or email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. You're listening to Central Standard and streaming online at kcur.org. I'm Alana Gordon, and our guests are John Rapley, head of periodontics at UMKC School of Dentistry, and Kevin Robertson, director of the Kansas Dental Foundation. Kansas City, what's been your experience getting dental care? And are you uninsured when it comes to dental care? What have been your solutions? Dr. Rapley, what you're hearing from Kevin is, as far as the adults and children issue, what is your experience when it comes to children and getting dental health and some of the issues that you see? You mentioned a little bit earlier about the cavities, but
I would say that with children, again, there are many programs within the state in terms of Medicaid that take care of the children. And so that usually is addressed. In terms of the local area in the Kansas City School District, the School of Dentistry has a Lowry Clinic in which we have partnered with the Kansas City School Districts in bringing children in to have dental care done for free. So there are many different programs of that type. We have a dental clinic at the University Academy in which we're doing dental work there from the dental students and in an in-house facility there. So we see that the children get done with Medicaid, but we're still missing out on all the adults because, as we all know, if your child needs something, you're going to be doing for them before you do for yourself. And we find that especially with dental care. Parents will take care of their children's dental needs without a hesitation, but their own dental needs go unmet.
I'm also really struck what you said. You talked about how you're going to the schools or you're going to different places. And when I think of dentists, I think of them in an office on a boulevard or somewhere kind of in their own. Is that kind of the typical way that – what do you see as kind of how dentists work now and the future of that?
In the past, dentists, when they left dental school, would mainly go into private practices or group practices, things of that nature, or the military. And now the IDEA, which is one of our educational societies, has shown that new dentists coming out of school, a larger percentage now are going into corporate dental offices or federally subsidized health clinics. And this is due to many different factors, one of which is the high student debt that they have coming out of school. Another is that more difficult to set up private practice and to get loans and that in our current economic society. And so we see that the old style dentist office is kind of evolving into more into federal clinics. New dental schools that have come up across the country, their model is that they work half of the time in the dental school and half of the time on rotations in these federally subsidized clinics, providing care to Medicaid patients.
Mm-hmm. Or, and folks without dental coverage.
With people without dental coverage, again, it gets to be more difficult in the sense that it's more on a sliding scale many times of self-pay, but at the federally subsidized centers, they're mainly on Medicaid patients.
And so you're talking about, for example, around Kansas City, that would be a place like SWOPE or Sam Rogers Health Center.
Cabot Clinic, Sam Rogers, those are the ones that accept Missouri Medicaid, and they also are the ones that have a sliding scale for your income. So the less that you make in terms of getting toward the poverty level, the less you would pay for dental services. The more you make over that poverty level, the more you would pay for dental services.
One of the things I was struck, Kevin, that you were saying is about how it's – I often think about when you look at throughout the region – whether there is an availability of dental care. And one of the things that you mentioned or were struck is that it's not necessarily that there's not a dentist there. And for you, John, at the School of Dentistry, where you're training dentists and are aware of kind of the lay of the land, how do you see that?
I think Kevin would probably say the same thing, but as you again, leave dental school, just like dentists, just like physicians, just like any other profession, they tend to go where the patient base is, and the patient base is in the urban areas. But that's not to say that everyone in an urban area is served. I mean, there are underserved people within the Kansas City area because of, again, the cost factor. And so we have those individuals who get Medicaid, those who can afford treatment, and then a tremendous percentage in between of people that can't afford to go to the dentist. And that's the people that are left without care.
I'm also hearing, you know, a lot of conversation about Medicaid. Again, that's, you know, that state federal public insurance program for low-income individuals, people with disabilities, kids. And, you know, I've often heard in my reporting throughout the years that dentists will tell me they don't take Medicaid. And so if you have something like that coverage, is that necessarily how easy is it to find a dentist that will see you?
I'd also like to have Kevin's opinion on this, but I guess the problem is multifactorial. In terms of dentists, the amount of money that's given back to them or reimbursed by the Medicaid program is only about one-third of the cost of their procedure. Overhead is approximately 50 to 60%. So on Medicaid, you basically are doing a service for the community. You're not gaining any money. Then we have the paperwork issue with Medicaid. And then you also have, in terms of Medicaid clinics, we have statistics have shown about a 25% no-show rate of patient appointments. So that's another issue. But I'd like to hear Kevin's opinion on that too.
Kevin?
Yeah, I certainly would agree with the comments of Dr. Rapley. Those are issues we hear. In the state of Kansas, there hasn't been an increase in Medicaid reimbursement for dentists since 2001. So, you know, people have been working, you know, 11 to 12 years now without a raise, and I don't think there'd be very many people that would be very thrilled about that. But having said that, we still have Kansas, again, created a CanCare system, so it's a managed care type issue.
Again, that's kind of, just to clarify, what you're talking about is essentially kind of this revamping or kind of redoing of essentially the state's Medicaid program.
Yeah, and I would call it really a privatization, really, somewhat of a privatization of our Medicaid system. So there's now different providers or different insurance companies, if you will, that are kind of overseeing the dental piece. So I've only talked to one of them just to qualify my comments. But right now, according to DentaQuest, which is one of the new CanCare dental providers, we have 456 access points for dentists or for Medicaid recipients across our state now. Coverage is 99.7% in urban areas and about 92-93% in rural areas. In Kansas, again, we're about 380,000 total Medicaid enrollees, population of about 2.9 million in our state. 163,000 of those are children. So we have 163,000 children that are on dental Medicaid. That's really the comprehensive program for coverage. So really we think that we're making some strides on the number of dentists that get involved. We the Kansas Dental Association, the Kansas Dental Charitable Foundation, are working with both DentaQuest and Cyan in our state to increase the number of providers, and we hope to continue to work on that. One of the issues we have, and our state has, and lots of states still across the country, is really what's the income level of tax dollars that those states have to spend on programs like Medicaid, and certainly when we look at Medicaid expansion with the Affordable Care Act, can we afford to do that? What we've tried to do here, knowing that the dollars are very minimal, is, for example, our Kansas Mission and Mercy Project, there are no tax dollar support with regard to that program. That's all private contributions from
volunteers,
other foundations,
things like that.
Volunteers and things like that. We also have created a program called the KIND program, the Kansas Initiative for New Dentists, which is actually a scholarship program which uses money from Delta Dental of Kansas Foundation that when we're hunting down students to provide incentive dollars for them to go to some of these rural underserved areas. And we just recently announced our first group of three dentists that we've awarded scholarships to of $25,000 apiece. They happen to all be University of Missouri Kansas City School of Dentistry students.
There you go.
So we're very excited about that, and we're looking forward to getting them out into the rural areas of our state to help with those areas. One of the criteria is they have to be a Medicaid provider once they're out of school for a certain number of years in order to qualify for the money.
So, Kevin, Jen, I want to get back to that point of the students in the School of Dentistry and its role, but first I want to take a call from Al. Hi, Al.
Hello.
Welcome to Central Standard.
Well, I just want just a quick comment. First of all, this is a huge topic, and there's a lot of history and a lot of politics that go back for many, many years behind this topic and dental care. I'm sure everyone on this panel agrees that the general health of the body relies heavily on the health of the teeth as well. Is that a yes?
Without a doubt.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, the thing is, could you give us a little history on why it is that, and I know that the National Dental Association is an extremely conservative organization that has fought any kind of insurance and public care for at least half a century. Could you give us a little background on why it is that it's so difficult for people to get dental care? I mean, I understand there's been other things covered in this discussion, but it's really boils down to a resistance by the dental community to take care of the general public, unlike the medical community, which is, you know, surrendered to the cause and has allowed some national dental care programs to come into place. I'd like to know why dental care is the most kind of ignored of these, and it's so critical to our health.
Al, thanks for your call.
That's my comment.
Well, I'd have to say that I don't think that the dental care has been completely ignored as medical, but again, the problem is, again, who's going to pay for it? It gets to be difficult to have a national dental health care plan that cover all of the adults and children. Because of just the available dollars that the federal government has, they've made their decisions on who to give it to. Right or wrong, it is difficult for those people who can't meet those qualification or eligibility standards to pay for their dental care. I don't have a good answer. That is, unfortunately, a political answer in terms of funding.
Al touched on something else that we have alluded to, but we haven't really gotten into, and that is oral health is such a big part of our overall health. What is that relationship?
Al really hit it on the head on that, and his comments were really well-based in that he said how your oral health can affect your whole body. It's been shown that periodontal disease has a direct relationship with diabetes, and we now know that if you are a Hispanic female who's born in the year 2000, you have a 50% chance of getting diabetes in your life, and that's from the CDC statistics. So a tremendous increase in diabetes in our country. We also know that there's a relationship of periodontal disease to cardiovascular disease, stroke. We also know now that there is a relationship between Alzheimer's and periodontal disease, rheumatoid arthritis, preterm low birth weight, pancreatic cancer, and chronic kidney disease. So we see that, again, treating the mouth can provide a positive benefit for these other medical conditions.
Yeah. One thing I'm just really curious about and struck, you know, Kevin mentioned that these students are being trained, that they're, you know, one initiative to look at to help encourage people to go into underserved rural areas are out of the UMKC School of Dentistry. Where are the training schools? Where are the trainings for the future dentists in our community, dental professionals?
In Missouri and Kansas area, it's still just at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. And remember that the University of Missouri is only funded about 25% to 30% by the state. They must receive the rest of their income from other sources. So that is the reason why the dental school charges about approximately one-third the cost of private practice. But that's the only, at this point in time, the only dental school within the state. There used to be one at University of St. Louis, Washington University. Those were private universities that have now closed.
And there's one that's being set up now in Kirksville, too, in the works, correct?
Right. There is one up there. And again, that is on the model of the students working in federally subsidized health centers so that they would work half the time in the dental school and then half the time in these federal centers on Medicaid patients.
I want to go to a call now, and then Kevin will get to you in just a moment.
Yeah, that's fine.
Karen from South Kansas City, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi. I'm 68, just turned 68, and I had some problems for the last 10 years. I've been without dental insurance and tried to keep my teeth in good working order. I'm on a retirement. I do live in Missouri. I've been listening to the conversation. I think it's important that the listeners realize that most of the conversation's been about Kansas. There's no cover for Medicaid in Missouri for adults unless you're blind. And no coverage under Medicare or anyone, 65 or older. I know you've talked a lot about periodontal disease, but my problem has been the affordability of keeping up with needed dental work, like crowns and that kind of thing. I'm not able to pay for it. In the last 3 years, since 2010, I'm low income and I qualify for low income programs, and I've paid $5,000 out of pocket to keep my teeth up. Now I'm at the point where they either pull them all or I don't know what's going to happen, but it's kind of interesting that this topic came up for me today.
Karen, thank you so much.
And then the only other thing I want to ask is why? Really, not overhead or anything else, but why is the dental cost so high?
Karen, thank you.
My opinion is it's because the insurance companies will pay the dentist $900 for a crown. I'll pay $300. I can get that. But if they can get patients that pay $900 out of their employee insurance, they're going to take them. They won't take any payment plans or anything. Why has it come from $600, $700, $800, $900 for a simple crown?
Karen, thank you so much for your call and for sharing your story. No, it's I thank you for calling in and sharing.
All right.
And I mean, Karen meets the criteria of the people that we're talking about that are somehow left out of the system and have a very poor access to care because of cost. Again, the only solution in terms of her situation, again, when she goes to some of the clinics like Cabot Clinic, Seton Center, that they have a sliding scale depending on their income. But these are the people we're talking about that have been priced out of dental care many times. But I'd like to get Kevin's opinion on that also.
Well, I think the answer, Dr. Rapley, and Alana, that I would give probably would not be one that would be appreciated, since overhead was not supposed to be talked about. But when we talk about something like a crown or anything that requires a laboratory service like a crown or a denture, generally speaking, dentists don't put those together in their office. They send those out to a local lab that then fabricates that crown and then basically sells that then to the dentist, who then puts that in the patient's mouth. So they have a significant cost involved in those procedures. Again, I understand. I have a few crowns myself, so I certainly understand that it is, $900,000 for a crown. But it's not just the cost of the dentist providing the care. It is the other costs involved as far as the overhead and putting that all together with getting the crown made and providing that service as well. So those are all parts of the factors when included in the cost.
Kevin and John, we're running out of time for this portion of the program, but I have one quick question to ask both of you. How do you see, if anything, this landscape changing in the near and distant future for dental care, access to dental care?
I'll let Kevin go first.
Yeah, in Kansas, we're working on several different programs. For example, the Kansas Dental Association has been working on a comprehensive oral health initiative. We passed that last year. We have increased the amount of care that a hygienist can give with increased training. Actually, UMKC School of Dentistry is going to be the training provider for that, so that those people can go into underserved areas and provide not just cleanings, but additional care with working with dentures and going into nursing homes and help those populations. So So that's very important. And also in our state, we're working more with children in school settings to increase the sealants, to do more preventative work with them. Well, that was bad timing on the sirens out here, sorry. But so their prevention has to be number one, and then we need to keep working on getting the dentists out to the areas of the state where they're most needed.
Thank you. John, your final thoughts?
I think, again, more prevention and more awareness by patients of the relationship of their dental condition to their oral medical health, and also, again, has to be some political solution to the problem, and more funding by both state and federal.
Well, Kevin Robertson, director of the Kansas Dental Association, John Rapley with UMKC School of Dentistry, really enjoyed this discussion. Thanks for joining us. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll take a look at a program that essentially builds a first aid kit for your mental well-being. Central Standard returns in just a moment.